This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, What the Puckers. Welcome to a brand new edition of the What the Puck podcast. Thanks for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. Follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Joining me as always via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Well, I am certainly doing better than the Washington Capitals doing at the moment. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. A little sad about the Washington Capitals right now. If you want to follow Dan on Twitter, go to at WTPCoachDan. Let's talk about what's going on with the Capitals right now. Since the last time we've talked, they've had four games, only one of them a win against the Florida Panthers. A very decisive win at that, 7-1, but they've got three losses right in a row. What is going on with the Capitals right now?
Well, real quick, we can start with the Florida game. And the Florida game showed, well, it showed, one, that how bad the Florida Panthers are, but it also showed that the Capitals have the capabilities of playing a good game. Yes, it was against a bad team, and they chased their Florida's rookie goalie in Markstrom out really early, even though he gave up a couple of bad goals, and Clemenson didn't fare that much better. But it showed that when they play a 16-minute game, they have an opportunity to win and win big. But what they didn't do in the last three games against Carolina and both of the New York teams is they didn't play a 16-minute game. I think it would be fair to say they didn't even play a 10-minute game. They looked horrible. They looked disappointing, pathetic. They didn't try. And that's why they went 0-3 in those games. And instead of winning all of those games and potentially being in eighth place in the conference or even potentially pretty close to first in their division, they're now 14th in the conference. The Caps are currently 10-14-1. I believe we're at the halfway point, putting them at 21 points, which is good for fourth in the Southeast and 14th in the East. That's unacceptable.
Oh, this is just really bad. The last couple games have really shown, number one, the Capitals are great when they're against teams that aren't as good as them. And it's also shown that this team is a really great mediocre team. This is not a team that can go up against the Penguins or actually they did pretty good against the Bruins when they have to. But a team that's leading the Eastern Division is going to swallow up the Capitals whole and just spit them out. These guys are not playing good hockey. They're on the ice and they're just kind of skating around. There's no drive or anything pushing these guys to do well. I don't know what's going on. A lot of people can say, yes, you can blame it on injuries. Brooks Lake is still out. Mike Green is out. We have a lot of Hershey Bears in the lineup. But still, this is not an excuse these guys should be doing. These guys are professional hockey players, and they're not playing like they are.
No, and the thing that's bugging me, aside from the fact that they're playing as poorly as they are, is that after the game, Backstrom and Alzner and Brower all came out and said that they need to try harder. Well, if you know that you need to try harder, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you trying harder? Why aren't you playing better? You know where you're sitting in the conference. You know where you're sitting in your own division, which has been called the South Least for so many years because it is a division full of mediocre teams. It should be an easy division to win, but instead of doing something about it and playing better, you're playing poorly. Now, this is also part of the problem, I think, is the roster. I don't think this is a roster made up to be a winning team because I don't think they have the talent to be able to do that. You have your top of the NHL-type players in Ovechkin and Backstrom. And for this season, it looks like Ribeiro is one of those guys. And then you kind of have the middle-of-the-pack guys that could be a top six, maybe your second-line guys in Troy Brower. You have guys with the potential to do that in Marcus Johansson, who recently returned to the lineup, although he's been blowing every opportunity that he has. And then you just have all these grinders or power forwards that aren't goal-scoring guys. They don't have anyone to play with Ovechkin on the first line, on the left wing. They have no one that can help him out. He's playing – I think Ovechkin's been playing well. The thing that's bugging me about his game right now is I think he's passing too much. The knock on him early in his career is that he takes like 700 shots a season. I would rather get back to that because I want him putting the puck on the net and let the other guys get the rebounds. Instead, he's trying to set up his teammates, and it's not working. Ribeiro is like afraid to shoot it, and Johansson couldn't score if the goalie wasn't in the net. In fact, he can't score when the goalie's not in the net. He has a wide-open net, and he still misses. They need to go out, and they need to make a trade and bring in someone to help Ovechkin out. A couple of years ago, the Penguins went out, and they got James Neal from the Dallas Stars, as well as Matt Niskanen for Alex Goligoski. go out and find a team that's looking for potentially a young center or winger, and maybe move a guy like a Marcus Johansson to bring in someone to help Ovechkin. You make a move, you give up something, maybe you give up a draft pick as well, maybe a second-round pick, third-round pick, to also go out and get a guy who can actually score goals and crash the net. I know some people are saying that Brooks Like is going to be that guy when he comes back. As much as I like Brooks, I don't think that he is a first-line winger. I don't think he can play on that line. I think he's a good enough second-line player. He's probably more suited for the third-line center or winger spot when he comes back. So this team's got – they still have roster holes to fill, and they need to find some way to do it, and that's on George McPhee.
Yeah, I think a lot of this heat is not going to fall on Adam Oates. It's not going to fall on Ovechkin. I think a lot of this heat
is – well, he's getting it from the media. I don't mean to cut you off, but he's getting it from the media. I mean, you have guys – first it was Milbury, who just hates Ovechkin for whatever reason. And then recently you had Ray Ferraro and Pierre Maguire going after him, although Ovechkin kind of had it coming. Ovechkin came out to the media after one of the games, and he was complaining about how the referees are sort of ignoring the Capitals when they want to talk to him. Or in the case of Mike Ribeiro, where he won't just shut up and play. Ribeiro's had 3 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties this season. That's 3 too many. Keep your mouth shut and play the game. So these guys came after him about that. He's been getting a lot of bad press lately, and it's because he's the star of the team. And actually, it's interesting. The Washington Post, Mike Wise, I thought he wrote a great column about Ovechkin that was actually in today being Wednesday's paper, of how people are always going to blame Ovechkin even when it isn't his fault. And Wise writes, "Don't look at the last 2 Stanley Cup finalists and realize that every single player on the rosters of the New Jersey Devils and the Los Angeles Kings had to contribute to get there. No, put it on the star, the guy who makes the most money. It doesn't matter that the greatest hockey players have less control of outcomes because of shifts in overall ice time than LeBron James or Tom Brady." I think Wise makes a great point. Everyone's going to go after Ovechkin because he makes the money, even though if you look at these teams that are winning Stanley Cups, they have a great roster. Ovechkin may play 20 to 25 minutes a night. There's still plenty of other time that the other guys have to step up and contribute, and the Capitals are not getting enough.
No, absolutely not. You can look at a guy like Tom Brady, and when he was winning Super Bowls, he had Randy Moss to throw to, and he had Wes Welker up until today. He's been able to throw the ball to a lot of people, and it is a team sport. Everybody knows that. Ovechkin is only as good as the people around him, and yeah, he is the guy making the most money, but like you said earlier, Nicholas Backstrom is supposed to be his number 2 go-to guy, but Nicholas Backstrom's been a ghost this season. He has not shown up at all. He's barely ever on the score sheet. He's a guy that you don't hear about in the news or in reviews or anything in the game because he pretty much isn't there during a game.
Backstrom, certainly, he's not been in the news, and he's kept his name out of it. He's doing pretty well on faceoffs, although I believe in the Carolina game, he was like 1-for-7 at one point, which is abysmal. But it looks like they're being reunited. They were reunited in the Carolina game. He's got a decent amount of assists, and I believe he's in the top, at least in the top 4, top 3 point getters for the Capitals. The problem is that he and Eric Fehr, I thought, has looked great lately. I mean, he had that one play last night in the Carolina game where it was Alexander Semin, where he just kind of juked around him and made a nice play. The shot wasn't good enough to get past Justin Peters, but he's playing better. Backstrom's just, he's one of those guys that, thankfully, Ovechkin's the star of the team and he's getting a lot of the bad press. Otherwise, it would be on Nick Backstrom.
It would be. It would be. Those are the two guys you think about when you think of the Capitals in this modern era, and it's been a terrible season. It has been for the Capitals. The one thing I do want to go back to real quick is you brought up they got to make some trades, and I completely agree with you. Some trades do need to get made because it's obvious this team is not a winning team. But Marcus Johansson, you brought up as a guy to trade out and try to get somebody for the Capitals. As much as I agree with that, because this system is not working for Johansson. Johansson, I don't think, would garner enough money to get a good enough person to team up on this team. I don't know who you would trade out for him because he's not producing this season, and I don't think anyone would be interested in Marcus Johansson just for that point.
I think a lot of people would agree with you. I think Johansson has the one aspect that a rebuilding team will want, and that is potential. I think with a lot of teams, that word alone can bring in something. You go and you find a team that's looking to rebuild, someone like a Columbus. The Islanders used to be that, but I think they're pretty much set with young players. Maybe even Calgary. You go out and you find somebody that's looking to rebuild. You trade them a Johansson and a draft pick, and maybe you bring in that guy that can play on your first line going forward. Because what they want is they want to get rid of that salary. Yeah, you may bring in a guy that's a high salary guy, or you may bring in someone that they're willing to move out, because you do have to give up something to get something. I think Johansson has the potential. And I want to get this out there. I like Marcus Johansson. And the only reason I would say trade him is because he's expendable at this point, because next season we have Philip Forsberg coming over. And I think he can play in, I think he'll play on this team and he'll actually end up doing better than Johansson is doing or will do. I think in the end, Forsberg will be a better player. You move out Johansson to open up that spot for Forsberg next season.
Yeah, Forsberg is a guy I'm definitely looking forward to seeing. He's done a lot of great stuff this season over in Europe, but I am definitely intrigued on what he can bring to the table. One guy I do want to bring up real quick, and you might not even have an opinion on this guy, to be honest, because we haven't seen a lot of him, but we brought in Volpatti from Vancouver, and he had one or two games here, and I liked what I saw from him, but it seems like he's getting the press box treatment a lot. It seems like he's not playing that many games. Let me ask you, why do you think the Capitals would bring a guy like him in and not use him as much as they can?
I'm as surprised as you are that we haven't seen Volpatti playing as much. At least he hasn't played the last two games. I think it's still early in his time with the Capitals to sort of make a judgment on where he sort of fits in. I don't think his cap hit's very high, so having him sit in the press box certainly isn't hurting them in any way. But I think with the fact that this roster is not settled, that they don't have enough goal-scoring guys, and they have too many – it's sort of like Oates is trying to figure out what he wants. I think without having that full offseason really – to sort of for Oates and McPhee to build a roster that will fit this system, that maybe they're still trying to make moves to find spots, to find guys that maybe could fit what they want. I think going forward, we might see more of Volpatti. We might not. I don't really know, but I don't think – I was a little surprised they pick him up if they're just going to, you know, put him in the press box. Maybe Joey Crabbe is the guy they're thinking isn't working out and they brought in Volpatti to replace him. I don't really know yet. I guess we'll see how going forward what they decide to do with him.
Yeah, I hope they do something with him. The few games I've seen with him in a Caps jersey, I liked what I saw, so I want to see him in a Caps jersey more often. I don't want to hear that he's scratched for the night. He's a guy that I think has some potential on this team and could bring something a little unique to the team, and I want to see more of him. Another guy I want to bring up that I want to see a lot more of is Steven Oleski. He's a guy that came up from Hershey, and the dude's definitely got some grit. If you saw his fight at the Carolina game, that guy knows how to throw some punches, and he's a guy who's not afraid to hip check a few people. So I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him, and it seems like Capital fans are impressed too, because usually they're chanting for Ovechkin, you know, another guy whose last name starts with O. They're now new favorite O seems to be Oleski.
I'm liking seeing what this guy can do, and as long as they don't put too much on him, like I think they're starting to do with Thomas Kondratik, I think he'll be okay. You keep him as your third pairing guy playing, I don't know, 10 to 12 minutes a night, I think he'll be fine. He's doing a good job with the body. He's doing good offensively. He scored his first NHL goal, which was fantastic. And he's putting the puck in. He's keeping the puck in the zone. He sends it, dumps it around. I think he's doing fine as long as they don't put too much on his plate. But the defense itself is becoming a problem because the guys are just falling apart. You know, first Green goes down, then Erskine and Pody. I completely forgot that Jack Hillen was even on the team. The guy only played one game. I didn't realize he was still on the team until Beninati brought him up. Completely forgot about him. I mean, half of their defensive unit right now started the season in Hershey. Kondratik, I think he's looked pretty good. Alexi's looked good. It's too early to tell on Schilling. He only played one game, but I certainly think this is a problem. And somebody tweeted it out, and I'm blanking on who it was. Somebody tweeted out that, I wonder how the Caps feel about letting Hamrlik go now. And I was like, that's kind of a good point. You know, that's kind of a guy you may have wanted to hang on to since all of your defensemen have decided to fall apart. So as long as no one else goes down and maybe a couple of these guys comes back, it looks like Pody, he might be back tomorrow. I'm not quite sure. We'll see how that goes. But they certainly are having some problems with keeping their defensemen healthy at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope Erskine comes back. I hope Pody becomes healthy. Of course, he's a guy that's been plagued with a lot of injuries that kept him on the sidelines for a very long time. But I want to bring up real quick about Oleski's goal. I text messaged you after I saw it on Sunday, and you were kind of like, yeah, kind of, I don't know. But when I saw that goal from the point from Oleski, that reminded me a lot of a Mike Green power play goal. So my question to you here is, if Mike Green is a guy who has trouble staying healthy and he's not in the lineup a lot, would they pass on Mike Green, trade him to another team with Oleski right there waiting in the wings.
Well, first thing, we can talk about Green's, I guess, trade value. I certainly think every time he goes down with one of these injuries, it gets his value is less and less. I think if you're going to trade a guy like him with his contract where it's at and how much his cap hit is, you're going to get something back, but you're not going to get as much back as you would have if you had traded him a couple of years ago. In regards to comparing him to Oleksii, let's not put too much pressure on the kid. Or not even the kid. The guy's 27 years old. He's actually, I thought it was funny. They pointed this out. He's the oldest member of the Capitals defense in last night's game at 27 years old, which is kind of cool because it's nice that they sort of have this young defense coming up, but it's also not kind of good because I don't think that these guys are necessarily – well, we don't know. We don't know where they're going to be. You know, maybe these are guys that you have on a Stanley Cup team, and maybe these aren't guys you have. We don't know yet. It's still too early in all of their careers, at least NHL-wise. I don't think he's the guy that's going to replace Mike Green. If you want to talk about anybody that could potentially replace Mike Green offensively, I think I'd rather talk about John Carlson or another guy who just returned to the lineup in Hershey in Dmitry Orlov. I think these guys could potentially replace his offense. But even in the end, I don't think through their careers they will be able to do the same things that Mike Green, when healthy, can do.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on Oleksii right out of the gate, but I am impressed with what I've seen so far from the guy, just like I was with Volpatti. They're the two guys that I really want to see more from in the next few games with the Capitals, because I think these guys will work out for the Capitals from what I've seen so far. Now, anything can happen. Of course, it's the NHL, but we'll see what happens down the road. Is there anything we didn't cover for what's going on in Caps world?
Well, I thought it was kind of cool to see Philip Grubauer get his first NHL start against the Islanders. It was just too bad that the rest of the team didn't show up for that game.
Yeah.
He kind of got hung out to dry. He looked pretty good. I mean, he had a couple that maybe one or two he wanted back, but you know, otherwise, I don't even know if that's true because they kind of hung him out to dry. He kind of, and with Ribeiro not being able to keep his mouth shut, he sort of screwed them over in that game. They had a chance that maybe they could have pulled it out, but they still played poorly. I don't know what's going on with Holpe lately and giving all these bad angle goals. I mean, he had the one come off with the bad angle off of his pads and went in, and another one off his freaking helmet and went in, and he just looked ridiculous. He's got to cover up the post and keep them from getting these bad angle goals, because if anything, those are deflating. I mean, first last night, and it was so predictable, that Ribeiro makes this ridiculously nice pass to Marcus Johansson, who can't score on a wide open net, and then within a couple of minutes, Carolina gets this bogus goal off of Holpe's head, and it goes in. It's just one of those things where this team just has no luck this season. And the other thing we can bring up is that Brooks Koepka has been practicing. I believe he went back and practiced yesterday, and apparently Chuck Gormley was talking about during the game last night on CSN, was saying that he looked much better than he did last time when he was skating a couple of weeks ago. That he looked healthier, he looked better, he wasn't grimacing when going into the corners. So it looks like maybe he's getting better, let's knock on wood, to make sure that he's okay, and we'll see going forward if Brooks Koepka is able to return this season.
Yeah, Brooks like did pretty much say there is a long ways to go, but this is at least some sort of progress. So it's good to see him at least back on the ice in any shape, way, or form.
Yeah, it's certainly good. I think he's a guy they're definitely missing. He's in the locker room. If you know he wants to be, he can be in there. But I think they're definitely missing him on the bench during games and on the ice. They definitely need him back out there, and it's good to see that he is progressing in some way. That's pretty much it for Caps news this week. Hoping to have some more fun things to talk about next week.
Yeah, as always, got to love the Caps no matter what team it is. We always got to say go Caps, as every good fan should. But it seems like every single player down here is coming from Hershey. So let's kind of go in the reverse of what they've been doing. And let's go up 83 and let's talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, Coach Stan, well, you told us pretty much that Dmitry Orlov made his triumphant return to the Hershey Bears. How are they doing? How are they doing since the last time we talked?
Well, he may have made his triumphant return, but the team certainly isn't doing very well. Since we last talked, Hershey went on a little bit of a losing streak, going 0-3, losing twice to Norfolk and once to Binghamton. They are currently 28-24-8.
Let me just tell you real quick. One of those games, I thought it was so cool. I went up to Hershey in December, and I was so ticked off because my phone was like, "Hey, there's a Hershey Bears game on tonight." And I was like, "Oh, this is cool. I'm actually staying in Hershey. I'll be able to see a game on TV." And they don't air them, but last week they actually aired one locally in Hershey, and it was against Norfolk, but of course, like you just said, it was a loss. So
yeah.
I guess a lot of local people are probably like, well, this is why we don't air their games. But anyway, any kind of TV coverage for those guys I think is great. I would love to see the Hershey Bears on TV a little bit more. But yeah, one of those games was at least aired locally up in Pennsylvania.
Well, that is pretty cool. I've never actually gotten to check out a game on TV, although usually when I'm up in Hershey, I'm going to the games and then watching them lose because I'm bad luck. But either way, currently Hershey is at 64 points, which is fourth in the East Division. They've actually dropped below the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Baby Penguins. And they are – I agree. They are seventh in the Eastern Conference. So they're still in the playoff race. They're still doing pretty well. And as we've mentioned already, Orlov did return. He played in the last two games, getting an assist in their loss to Binghamton. Reading, on the other hand, has gone 2-1 since we last talked, with wins over Orlando and Elmira. Have you noticed every time we go up 83 that one team's doing poorly in the last week and one's doing good? Can they ever get on the same page, guys? It makes it so much easier for me. Anyways, Reading is currently 39-18-6, putting them at 84 points and first in the Atlantic Division, and they've actually dropped to second in the Eastern Conference, 3 points behind the conference-leading Cincinnati Cyclones. And yet, Brandon, they have still not clinched the playoffs.
Come on!
Now, I found this interesting. I believe I have this correct. In the ECHL, there are 14 teams in the Eastern Conference and 9 in the West. 6 teams in the Western Conference have clinched the playoffs. None in the Eastern Conference. So I found that pretty interesting when I checked out their website today. But hopefully, they go on a little bit of a winning streak. They should be able to clinch the playoffs relatively shortly. Their last game of the season is March 30th, so you got to think it's going to be soon.
Wow, really? March 30th? Wow. Here we are talking about the NHL getting to their halfway point.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, lockout.
We have the ECHL coming up to it close, so that's kind of crazy. It's kind of weird, though. You didn't mention the Alaska Aces or whatever that we usually talk about every week, so that's kind of crazy. This is the first time
They're way up ahead. I'm not even looking at them anymore.
I think this is the first time you brought up the Cyclones, so that's kind of interesting.
Reading's got to go to a little bit of a winning streak, get back up. They're a game and a half behind them, so they got to go on a little winning streak, get back to first in the East like they were before.
Yeah, our buddy up in Reading, We Bleed Purple, over on Twitter, it was kind of funny. He brought up the fact that the trade deadline was coming up through the ECHL, and the Reading pretty much didn't do anything this past week, so he was kind of bored. Apparently, he was on spring break, and was waiting to cover them, but nothing really happened. So, anyway.
Reading is certainly not bored tonight because they're currently up 6-1 against the Wheeling Nailers, who are actually also the ECHL affiliate of the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's a lot of Caps Pens thing stuff going on tonight. They're up 6-1 with 10 minutes left to go in the third, so it looks like at least they're going to win tonight.
All right. Well, you know what? It's a great time going up 83. Go Bears, go Royals. Now let's go back to the NHL and let's go around the league.
News went out actually after we recorded last week, but Stompin' Tom Connors, the Canadian country singer responsible for the hockey song that you hear at all the hockey games, he actually passed away last Wednesday at the age of 77, which is unfortunate.
Very sad news.
Very sad. The Chicago Blackhawks lost in regulation for the first time this season last Friday to Colorado. They have actually now lost 2 in a row after getting a point in 24 straight games.
Wow.
People in Chicago start panicking. They've lost 2 in a row. Oh, no. And Anaheim signed star center Ryan Getzlaf to an 8-year extension worth an average $8.25 million per year.
Whoa.
Corey Perry, I believe, is their next guy they want to get locked up. We'll talk about him in a moment. In trade news, Minnesota has sent Matt Cassian to Ottawa for a 6th-round pick. There were also 2 other trades in the past week, but they're minor league trades, so who cares? The trade deadline is coming up April 3rd at 3 p.m., so we still got some time before we're going to start seeing some trades, some big-name trades. I know there's a lot of talk going around. Drew Stafford, I believe, recently came out. He's of the Buffalo Sabres, said he wants out of Buffalo. Everyone's talking about Ginla, but I feel like everyone's been talking about Ginla for the past couple of years that he's going to get traded. So who really knows there? Corey Perry could get traded or re-signed in the next couple of weeks. Speaking of Corey Perry, the bonehead, he has been suspended for 4 games after leveling Minnesota's Jason Zucker. This was a bad, bad hit.
Nasty.
Perry came out and said that he tried to get out of the way. He tried to not hit him. You know, I don't know if I believe him or not, but it was a bad hit. It was unfortunate. Zucker did not see him coming. He turned and then just got annihilated by Corey Perry. So he's going to be sitting out 4 games. And the Islanders assistant coach Brent Thompson was actually suspended for 2 games for inappropriate comments directed towards the on-ice officials after their game against the Rangers on March 7th. So he and Mike Ribeiro hanging out in the offseason talking smack about the officials? Stop yelling at the officials. Just enough, okay? Make your point. If they're not going to listen to you, it's over. Let it go. that is all of the interesting NHL news from the past week.
Well, very cool, man. Lots going on around the NHL. Trade deadline's definitely coming up, so keep your eyes peeled. Never know when news is going to break around there. Let's follow this up now, pretty much end the show. Let's talk about coming up for the Capitals. Thursday, March 14th, they are up against the Carolina Hurricanes, this time at Carolina. Game is at 7 o'clock locally on CSN and on the NHL Network nationwide. Let's see, Saturday, March 16th, they are in Boston, Massachusetts, 1 p.m. start. CSN will be airing that game. Sunday, back-to-back games. We know the Capitals never do well against back-to-back games. Sunday, March 17th, Buffalo in D.C., 7 p.m. start. That one's going to be on the NBC Sports Network, a nation or nationally aired game. And then Tuesday, March 19th, Pittsburgh Penguins versus Washington Capitals, this time in Pittsburgh, 7:30 start, again on CSN and nationally on the NBC Sports Network. So this is going to be a jam-packed week. Four games against some really good teams. Which one are you looking at most, Coach Dan? Let me just tell you, the Boston game always seems like the Capitals bring their A game against Boston, but that Pittsburgh game kind of worries me a little bit. That's the last one after a long stand against some really good teams.
Well, it was unfortunate because the Caps had a really good shot to move up, at least in the Southeast standings, and they blew that opportunity on Tuesday. So they have another shot to at least make somewhat of a dent in Carolina's lead in the Southeast. I think the most important game right now is tomorrow's game against Carolina. That is, I think, a must-win game. If they lose that game, I think unless Carolina starts to tank, I think they can kiss any chance of winning the Southeast goodbye. After that, I think the Buffalo's struggling, so I think that's certainly a winnable game. They do play well against Boston for whatever reason, so that'll be interesting. But that Pittsburgh game, I think, is going to be very telling to see how they can do against some of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. So I think Carolina, Boston, and Pittsburgh are both huge games. And if they play poorly in the Buffalo game, then I think, you know, this is just one of those seasons where things just don't go their way.
Yeah, this is going to be a very telling week. I think these games are really going to show what the Capitals can do, and we're at the halfway point, so there is no looking back anymore. This is pretty much go big or go home, because there's a good chance the Capitals might be going home and having a shortened season already. They're going to have an even shorter season if they don't get their act together, really. But hey, let us know what you think. Tweet to me, at BrandoCash. Let me know, what game do you think is going to be the most telling against this team? And Coach Dan, of course, people can tweet to you as well. Where can people follow you at?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website all about the Washington Capitals. I have two articles up so far. I'm currently in the process of writing a third. So check it out, CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
Well, if you want to get more information about What the Puck, there's a couple different places you can go. But first off, make sure you go like the Brando Cash Network, Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You'll get all the information about this show and all the other shows in the Brando Cash Network. But What the Puck has their own Facebook and Twitter page. On Twitter, it's at @WTP_podcast and Facebook.com/WTP podcast. Go follow us, like us on there. You get all the latest information about What the Puck and whatever other Caps news that we're thinking about talking about leading up to the show or right after. Now, I don't know how you're listening to What the Puck, but it doesn't really matter. As long as you're listening, thank you very much. But there's so many different ways. Whatever works best for you, you keep on doing it. We are on Stitcher Smart Radio. It's radio on demand, straight on your phone, streaming to your phone. It's the Stitcher app. Download that on the Google Play App Store on your Android phone. It's on the Amazon Kindle, and it is also on the iPad and iPhone. So all you have to do is download the Stitcher app, search What the Puck Podcast, and you'll find us, and you'll get all the latest episodes right there streaming straight to your phone. If you go over to iTunes, click subscribe after you find What the Puck Podcast. Click subscribe, you get all the latest episodes downloaded straight to your iTunes or on the podcast app. And if you're at work and you can't wait to watch that Caps game tonight and you want to hear about more hockey, go to whatthepuckcaps.podbean.com. If you want to help us out, and we hope you do, we give you this show free of charge every single week. If you can, go over to iTunes, write an iTunes review, give us 4 stars, give us 5 stars, give us 1 star, as long as you're writing us a review, letting iTunes know that you dig What the Puck, and it kind of helps us get recognized a little bit better in the iTunes world. And tell your friends about us. Go over to Facebook, to Twitter, to Tumblr, to Pinterest, Instagram, to Vine, every single social network that you know that's out there. Go to Reddit, reddit.com/r/caps, and check out What the Puck there. Let people know that you like What the Puck. Keep it social and let everybody know about What the Puck. That would really help us out. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Go Caps for What the Puck. I'm at Brando Cash on Twitter. Follow Coach Dan at WTP Coach Dan, and we'll see you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
I completely lost track of what I was saying. We're talking about Ovechkin.